that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this Saturday morning, October 30th. Here's another month in the record books that's gone. But we're thankful to be here. Got a not quite sunrise out here this morning as the fall continues on and the days get shorter, but sure looks beautiful back to the east. Promises to be a beautiful day, and we've got a full crew this morning. And Jason, good morning.
Morning.
And I don't know if you can hear it. I got some static from somebody, wind or something. But Brother Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
And we've got Brother Josh as well with us from way down south. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
And we say welcome to you, the remnant, from all over, from California to Florida and from Maine and Connecticut down to, well, I know we've got some down in Arizona and New Mexico, Southern California that's tuning in this morning. And we say welcome and good morning to you as well. The program is Coffee with the Wranglers. We've got our coffee, we've got our Bibles, and we gather in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we'll have the phone lines open this morning if you'd like to call in. But we're going to open up in prayer as we do our best to encourage you to do that very thing each and every day. Jason, we'd ask if you would open us up in prayer this morning.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us. And we pray for your people across this land, and we pray for your land. And we just ask, Father, that you do a mighty work with your people and through your people. And Father, just allow us to be a light into a dark world, and that we ask that you strengthen us and that you encourage us and that you give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And Lord, we just cry out to you and we thank you for all the blessings that you give us each and every day. And Father, help us and not to ever forget it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen. Well, I'd like to just start out with the scripture, and where we go from there, who knows? But it's in 1 Peter 4, verse 12, it says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation." And boy, there's a lot there in 1 Peter. Talks later in chapter 5 of, you know, humble yourself and cast your anxiety on him. And it doesn't just drop that, you know, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal and then, hey, you just have to deal with it. It's not that way. But the fiery ordeals come, and they always have. Pastor talked about them as the storms of life, and they come. Heard a pastor in town talk a couple weeks ago, and he reiterated something he said he had heard. He said that, you know, he'd heard that in our lives that we are usually heading into a storm, in the middle of a storm, or coming out of a storm. And sometimes that sure seems how it is. But for the Christian, for the believer, we have that hope. We have his word, which is God, which is Christ. If you read John, you'll come to that understanding, hopefully. And the word is truth, and it is comfort, and it is peace. And when we know that we're going to have fiery ordeals, you know, but they're not for the believer, for the repentant, for the true Christian follower, for the one that has repented and changed and been baptized and doing their best to lead a godly life. Well, those things come not as punishment, not as wrath from an angry God, but like it, the word says, for our testing. And the end of 1 Peter 5 tells us that we are being perfected and confirmed and strengthened and established. And it takes these storms of life to do that. You know, if you want to run a marathon, you don't just wake up on Tuesday morning and go run the marathon. You have to be conditioned. You have to practice. You have to prepare for it. And I think it is that way spiritually as well as physically. And God is preparing us, each and every one of us in different ways, but preparing us for the marathon that is, I think, fast approaching. Anyway, just wanted to lead off with that. And with that, I'll just turn it over to the men. If anybody's got something on their heart or spirit or just something they want to lead off with.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on right now, and it's, you know, everything from our administration wanting to give you know what I'm talking about. But this Biden administration comes out, and they says they want to give $450,000 to people that were separated at the border that came in illegally. So, I mean, you know, you just look at the insanity of it. It's, you know, insanity, but, you know, on the other hand, it's war, and that's what it is, you know, trying to drain our economic system. But, you know, it's basically, what kind of message does that send to the world? You know, you come over here, you break the law, you come in illegally, and we're going to give you $450,000 as a cash settlement for you breaking the law. It's just... you know, it's a good thing to you read the news and you just make sure it makes you want to be different, and you know that's what the remnant is they think differently, they look at things differently. You know, this last week, Morgan Wallen, country music singer, you know, it's he took a lot of heat. He got, you know, somebody filmed him and he said the N-word, got dropped by all his record labels, and they canceled all his contracts and radio stations quit playing his music. And you know, what was interesting about it was his internet online sales went up 1,221% after that, after everybody else tried to destroy his career. It goes up 1,200%. So, you know, there's things out there that tell you that, you know, people are had enough and they're not listening to everything that they're saying. They're not being programmed like they used to be programmed. There's an awakening process that's going on across this land, and that's what's encouraging, is because people are stopping and saying, you know, hey, wait a minute, this is messed up.
Amen.
Well, and that's, you know, for years they have, that's their operating system, their divide and conquer, and try to make us think that we're the only ones that think in a certain manner. And, but that's certainly not the case. That example you just gave was a great example. Jason, another one is this, the Let's Go Brandon movement. I mean, yep. That right there. I mean, there's a song or a couple of songs of it now anyway, but number one on the iTunes sales chart in the country. It takes a lot of people to make that happen, you know. And so it is encouraging to see that there are that many people that at least have some common ground with us. I'm not saying that they're perfect, but, you know, we're a long ways from perfect ourselves. And it's real good for us to examine ourselves regularly and see, you know, where we land on that truth-o-meter. But, man, it's encouraging to me, you know, to get a little bit of saltiness about folks. And, you know, there's only one way for that salt to get its savor back. And that's where we're at, I believe, in the story right now.
Amen. Who would have thought that we would be part of the LGB group, right? Who would have thought? Just a different group than some think, that's for sure. That is for sure. Well, Paul, how are things in the great state of out there in, where are you at, Michigan? How are things out there?
Well, I guess it's okay, you know. There's a lot of people waking up, you're right. They're looking correctly, and there's a lot of people going down to the system, too. So many people I know getting vaccinated. One cut the lady does my hair, they just got their second or third shot. And, you know, it's just discouraging to see that. But and things are being refined. The goats to the left, the sheep to the right, it's happening. So, yeah, you make choices.
Amen to that.
Well, yeah. Well, government has been out of hand for years. There's only two things that government's commissioned to do biblically, and that's reward righteousness and punish evil. And they weren't supposed to be in Social Security and all this crap that has taken us down. Insurance hasn't destroyed the medical profession, you know. I mean, they don't care what they charge you because most people have insurance to cover it. So they've lost their contact with the individual, you know. The old-time doctors, you know, if you couldn't pay, they took care of you anyway. So, I don't know. It's kind of interesting to watch what's going on. The song, Can't You Feel the Kingdom Coming?
Amen to that. Amen to that, because it is. It is.
You know, on that insurance thing, that's the same group of people that are far removed from us being able to see them, but we all know the racket. I mean, the doctors charge a huge amount, and then they deny a certain portion of it, and then they get whatever they deem that they get, you know, and you pay the outrageous premiums, which go to that third unseen party. It's not going to the folks that are actually doing the work, you know. It's all a racket and a scam, and I believe that, you know, that goes against where we're supposed to be. That goes against God's plan for us. We shouldn't look to anybody for insurance but him. I'm not saying in the system that it is right now where we're at that you can or can't go around with it without insurance. That's everybody's option and opinion. But I think it's important for everybody to realize what it is, and it's not something to count on, that's for sure.
Amen to that. Well, Remnant, we do have the phone lines open this morning. If you'd like to call in, it is the 30th of October, 307-745-5410. 5913 is the call-in number. If you'd like to give a call, and I saw this article caught my eye this week. It was in a little agricultural magazine that we get here, and it is talking about the 2021 drought is real, and just looking at the basically at North America, not just the United States, but Canada and Mexico as well, but it, the largest area of drought in nearly a decade, says that beginning of summer, 22% of the state was in drought, but 3 months later, 97%. And that was just Minnesota. And but all the Midwest, the Northwest, the West, it is just, it continues. The dryness, the drought conditions, that, you know, we saw it really flare up again. We'd had a couple of bye years that were pretty decent, but it really flared up again in 2020. And the outlook, the forecasting that Weather Trends 360 is where this report came from. The report is that the 2022 growing season for much of the western and central United States looks like the dry to severe drought conditions are expected to continue. And, you know, they talk about, lingering impacts from La Nina and a warmer Atlantic Ocean and a cooler sea surface in the Pacific and on and on and on, dry patterns. And and so even the, whether you call it the scientist or whoever, the Weather Trends 360 people see. And it's you know, part of it is it doesn't impact the people as much in their thoughts, I think, because they've still got water to drink. But the farmers, it's up in Canada as well, from Vancouver Island over to Ontario. It says the summer of 2021 was the hottest and one of the driest in more than 30 years from BC to Saskatchewan. And lots of food grown in these areas that are experiencing drought. And if there's no water to grow the food doesn't grow. And I know, Paul, you've brought that up several times, that, you know, the way agriculture is in this nation, that just, they just tap the ground and pump it up out of the water, out of the ground. But that's a somewhat limited supply as well.
And the reverse is true, too. You can't grow a crop in excess of water. You know, we've had a lot of water around here, to be honest with you. The river's been over the bank so many times, like it's in the last 2 years, I can't hardly believe it. You know, we had a dry period there for a while, but, you know, we have pretty much bumper crops around here. I don't know, it's not nutrient dense, but it looks good from the road. And we've had plenty of water, actually, but not very far from us. Minnesota is burning up, you know. And, you know, I went to a meeting one time, a Patriot meeting. They were talking about dust in the clouds and all that crap, and it kind of upset me. I went home and I read the Bible. I don't remember where it is, but God says, I control the weather. And see, nobody wants to acknowledge that in the mainline news media, that this is God's wrath is what it amounts to. You know, Amos, I send water here and I withhold it there. And then I send it here and I withhold it there. And still, you don't turn to me. And that's exactly what's going on.
Yeah, it is. It is. Looking at this map there from Alabama straight north, it looks like just a little green stripe where it's not drought, and just along the Gulf Coast, you know, from there into parts of Texas, but everything else. And we've seen that increasing over the years. Well, guys, we got a caller. Let's try the phone line. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, Richard.
Good morning, Warren.
I'm calling in. I left a message yesterday. We're in the middle of a storm up here. My nephew, David, was in a serious ATV accident late yesterday afternoon. I guess he was originally in a coma, and the Lord delivered him from it. And his ear got ripped off, and he's in critical condition. I don't know what it's to walk with the Lord. He's a good person. And I know that's not the wrath of God, but I pray that that would be an awakening. Because our family, on both sides, my wife's and mine, most of them aren't Christians, you know. And I just pray that, you know, they wake up and they humble themselves and come to the Lord. Sheila's got one sister, Joyce, that she fears that Corbin stuff more than she does the Lord. And, I'm just praying for all the remnant, but especially for David. I know that the Lord can put a ear back on. And that's my prayer request.
All right, Warren. Well, we will sure do that. And keep David in our prayers for a complete healing. And Lord, we do. We lift him up to you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that you delivered him through this accident, Lord. As your word says, that you will be through us, with us, when we go through the fire and through the waters, that they will not overtake us. But sometimes we have to go through them. So be with David, Lord. We pray your continued healing to be upon him. We claim him for the service of Jesus Christ, our King. And we do. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for the healing that you bring and that you have brought on David. And let it be a testament, Lord. Let it be a testimony to all those that are involved, that they see that there is a God, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he does still heal. Bring this family closer to you, Lord, closer together as a family. And let them also, Lord, let them rejoice at your mighty hand and at your healing. We pray continued healing on David, that Lord, as he comes out of this coma, he stays out, that he heals. Give the doctors and the nurses wisdom and instruction. And Lord, we thank you for this. We do. We are so thankful. We pray all this to your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I call Patrick yesterday for a prayer too. And I mentioned to Patrick that we would continue to pray for Hannah. And whenever I think of Hannah, I think of Samson's mother. And I know the Lord delivered Samson to Hannah. So that's a prayer request too. God bless you.
Thanks, Warren. God bless. Amen. Amen. Well, the phone lines are open. 307-745-5913.
Yeah, Paul, we're on the opposite side of that drought thing as well. The early spring and summer, we got just a lot of rain, and it's not real easy to put up hay whenever it's raining all the time. So that we're going to find ourselves in a crunch this winter for hay around here. Most of the time with our growing season, you can squeeze in at least two, if not three, cuttings, and a lot of folks only got one this year because of the weather. So,
well, I heard some guy talking yesterday about Biden at 400,000, whatever it is, crap, and they just kept going on and on. I said, you know what we ought to be thinking about here? Not what Biden's doing, but what God's doing. And it kind of went silent there. But that's a fact. God's doing all this. You know, they put a clown in. If you're going to look to your government for all your survival, you've got deep doo-doo.
Amen to that. And that's by design. That is by design. If, you know, a lot of people are seeing more and more that that O'Biden that's in there is just Obama 2.0. They're really starting to see that. And that even though the media says, oh, Biden does this and Biden does that and the Biden administration, that, you know, it was mentioned earlier about that unseen third party. You mentioned that, Josh. And, you know, Pastor taught on that. And that really is, I think, what is coming out. What is that more and more people are seeing, that it's not mistakes that this administration is making, that they have a plan. Just like when they installed O'Biden in the presidency, he had, 17 executive orders on his desk that day ready. Brother Jonathan's brought it out before, that it is just a continuation of the O'Biden, of the Obama policies, of stealing, killing, and destroying, of changing America from the once Christian republic that it was into a socialist, communistic, devil-worshipping society, and completely destroying what we think of as the American Christian ethic, or the Christian American ethic, however you want to put it, and that Christian way of life that we see as a continuation of how things should be here. And more people are waking up to that it's not just this senile old man that has black eyes that can't carry on a conversation, that you want to talk about squirrel, just loses his focus, his attention, can't carry on a conversation, can't say more than a couple sentences without bumbling, fumbling, talking about, instead of 37, it's 37 million, or when he's out talking to the firefighters last month in Idaho, telling them, yeah, I used to be a smoke jumper, and about that time they cut the live feed. And, when he's talking a month before that with the truck drivers back in the Northeast, that's what he's telling them. Yeah, when I drove a truck like this, and they just, it is so blatant. It is, tell me it's not the story, the little children's story of the emperor has no clothes. And in that story, everybody went along with it. Because they said, oh, you'll be stupid if you don't go along with this. Then that just shows how stupid you are. And so everybody was scared of everybody else and of being called stupid. Until the one little boy says, hey, he ain't got no clothes on. And then everybody else had to come to that realization that they were, that they had been believing a lie and putting forth a lie. And that's how it is here. The emperor has no clothes. And there's a remnant across the land that see it, that understand it, that have seen it for a long time. And that this is just the latest in a long line of these emperors that claim, what's the Bible say? It says they claim a form of godliness, but they deny the power. They claim that power of life and death, but there's no... They claim to be the small g gods that have that power, but they really don't have any power. They don't have any clothes on. They are they only have the power that our fear gives them, that the fear of the American people give them. And anyway, it is just, why else is gas over twice what it was a year and a half ago? And out here in Wyoming, oil production shut down. Gas production, natural gas, shut down. Coal production, I saw a picture up by the coal plants. There's like 380 train engines, the big ones. Sometimes you'll see these big coal trains, they'd have three or four pushing and pulling these big coal trains across the country. They're shut down, just mothballed, sitting there. Gas and diesel, $3.50 a gallon. And let's give these illegals that came in $450,000. Saw another report, the Build Back Better program and budget that this Obama 2.0 that has put out includes amnesty for at least 7 million illegal aliens. And it's just... It is just, in the way we look at it, it's insanity. The way they look at it, it's business as usual. America better wake up. America better wake up. America's changing fast.
Looking across the field at the cows, beef prices here are just ridiculously cheap, but yet in the stores, it's almost record high. We got folks going out of business regularly, selling out, because which Paul's talks about it, and it's probably a good thing, but you know, the fertilizer being so high and, you know, this and that, nothing makes sense financially anymore. But when you look at the end result of that, it is, it's pushing us back to God's way of life and their, his plan for us, and away from this system that is theirs that they have built for decades now. It's getting between us and where we should be. So it's definitely a blessing.
Amen to that. Looking at our little, was talking to a neighbor yesterday about that very thing, Josh. Looking at our little Fence Post magazine, they tell you what, you know, what cattle prices have been and whatnot. And 400-pound range steers and heifers, just depending, but the last several weeks, about averaging about $1.50 a pound is how you can look at that. So that's $600. $600 range for a 400-pound calf. You've got more money in it than that. And the old adage was, you know, when you were raising cows, that by your third calf, you should start making money by your third calf. But it just, it doesn't pan out today at those prices. And then you look at, you know, so you raise that calf up to 18 to 24 months for slaughter. And then you see what that's bringing either at the butcher shop or at the grocery store. And, you know, you're talking, if you figure it out that way, it's $6,000 or $8,000. But the rancher's not getting that. And the butcher's not getting that. It's like you mentioned, I think, earlier, that middleman with that, between the insurance and the doctors and all that. And that's how it is in the beef industry as well. The American public has been over and raped over these beef prices. And the farmer, the rancher, isn't seeing hardly any of that. Rarely has. I've been out here 20 years. 20 years ago, it was well over $2 a pound for these same animals. 20 years ago. And so, you know, it's 25% less. What are our beef prices, like you said, in the store? They're 100% more. Where's that money going? It's not going to the producer. It's not going to the rancher, the guy out here, whether you're raising 30 head, 300, or 3,000. It's not. So we've said it before, and I like how you said it, it's driving us back to God's economy. And shop local. That means so much. You can pick up you know, no matter where you're at, if you want fresh, local, clean beef, you can find it. You can find it within a couple hours of wherever you live, if you'll go look for it, Remnant. The same goes with eggs. Farm fresh eggs. It'll have a orange yolk when you crack it that stands up about an inch and a half out of that frying pan, versus just a mealy old pale yellow yolk that runs all over the place. You can find raw milk if you try, if you want to. There's that economy. And and if it's got to be a separate economy than Uncle Sam, that make sure, you know, that's the other thing. What's the latest? They want to hire 80,000 more IRS agents to track every transaction over $600 for me and you. Good luck with that. So there is that separation that was mentioned earlier too, the goats and the sheep, and that separation it is not only in the choices that we make, but I think it's going to get into the economy that is growing and has been growing, and that economy of neighbors and of communities. Because if you're waiting on, and I am, I'm waiting on a part for a car I'm working on for my son. And I don't know if it'll ever get here. Because, you know, the ships aren't running. They aren't. Anyway, that's my rant.
Well, you know, this, this all starts, the judgment will start first in the house of the Lord, and the reason it's going to start there because that's where it's wrong, and this is all a spiritual war. We've went to the wrong God for our remedies. You know, the farmers come before they're, you know, they have a crop killer, they go get some money from the government and stuff, and they just prop it up and do everything wrong. This is a spiritual thing. You know, we like to think that it's a conspiracy on the part of the whoever they are, but it's actually God's judgment is coming to a head. You know, I think Rothschild or somebody said, I could care less who makes the laws in a country, who controls the money, controls the country. And this is, you got to look deeper. In 1913, we got the Federal Reserve in the United States, and I'm sure that China's got the same hook in their jaw. This, and then that's why they got a goof up there like Biden bouncing around, but he's just a puppet on a string. You know, and yes. I think it's God's kind of laughing at us that we would trust such a system, actually. So, you know, and actually, you know, with no Veterans Day coming on, that thing kind of makes me want to puke in my soup, too, because what are we going to celebrate? Our licenses, our franchises, our taxes, and, you know, but we live in a free country. It makes me want to puke in my soup, to be honest with you.
You're free to do whatever you want as long as you do what they say.
That's right. In their way.
But, you know, it's spiritual bondage what it is. That's what it really is. So, you know, we were told not to make no alliance with another nation. And our biggest downfall, the first one, was World War One when we went off our soil to fight. That was a big victory to them, and it's just been going downhill ever since. And all the presidents back there, Bush, the whole damn bunch of them, are all got a hook in their jaw, and they're all greed. You know, their only bond in Washington, D.C. is money. It's a greed, and there's no love there for each other either.
That's a fact.
You know what a conservative is?
Fixing to find out.
Yep. No, Paul, tell us what a conservative is.
Well, a conservative is a person that uses less water. So, and I didn't see conservative Bible anywhere, you know.
Yeah, one thing that I thought was interesting, too, is, you know, with these seaports, I'm saying that these seaports are all backed up and they can't unload these cargo ships. Less than a week ago, DeSantis out in Florida, he said, we can open up these seaports. If you're willing to reroute your ships and send them here, we're going to get them unloaded. And, you know, he said, we're used to helping farmers, ranchers, industry, household goods. We've got ports open all up and down the coast, and we will get them unloaded. And, I just recently pulled out this book, War is a Racket, and started reading it again, and it's a book that we have made available, and you can order it from us if you want it. But I'll tell you what, after reading that book again, it really puts a lot of things into perspective, and you see so many things. You see all of these things that are going on in the news and in the world and stuff, and you got to just think war, it's warfare. There is, you know, it's spiritual warfare, it's physical warfare, it's mental warfare, that's what's going on. And when you start thinking about it in those kind of terms and with that mindset, you can really wrap your head around a lot of the things that are going on, you know, and you start thinking about, you know, the plots of the enemies and this and that. And, you know, like Paul said, it's God's the one that's in control of it all. And we need to, you know, right now we need to be having faith, you know. And, you know, one of our weapons of warfare is prayer. And we need to be praying for this land, pleading the blood of Jesus Christ over it. Praying for wisdom. I think right now, I think every Christian across this country needs to be praying for wisdom, because we don't know what's going to happen next, and we don't know, you know, how God's going to use us or what God's going to do. But, you know, it's, you know, we've got to have trust in him, but also we've got to be praying, you know, hey, what can I do and how can I help and how can I be a Christian soldier? You know, I don't want to just sit by and just let everything that is going on, you know, okay, God, it's your fight, it's your warfare, you know, you fight it out. You know, it takes Christian soldiers to win this. And, you know, I think that, you know, a lot of times we have not because we ask not, and we need to be asking God, what can I do and how can I help? How can I be assisted to this? And how can I be used to be a better Christian, to wake up people, to stimulate your people? And there's every person out there, every Christian soldier is going to have a different role to play than the other one, and everyone's going to be led different. But you know, I just really want to encourage people out there to be doing that. You know, praying, add that into your prayers. You know, what do I need to be doing, and how can I help? You know, pray for the moving of the Holy Spirit and trust it, and act upon it, and do it. You know, and you know, it doesn't matter if somebody thinks you're crazy or nuts or they don't understand what you're trying to do, because it doesn't matter about that. But I know that as we see these things, it's there's a lot of people that are doing a lot of different things. And, you know, is it just being a prepper? No, it's not. Maybe for some people, that's what they're supposed to be doing. One person maybe is supposed to be doing something, and, you know, Josh is probably doing something different than what Jason's doing. Jason's probably doing something different than what Richard's doing. But, you know, it's one of those things is, you know, keep it in prayer. And, you know, when you see somebody in need, you know, try to figure out how you can help them. And that's, you know, that's one of our duties that that people have neglected. And, yeah, that's my 2 cents worth.
Well,
got you know, another. Hearing you talk about that brings to mind that song that I love so much, Stout-Hearted Men. You know, we got to be that barley bunch, that Gideon elite that is willing to be those ones that stand there by themselves. And when I say by yourself physically, we know that if we're in the right spot, that God will be with us. But because it is hard to be the first one, but it's a little bit easier to be the second, and it's a lot easier to be the 10th that are there standing together. And so we got to be willing, as John says, stand in the gap and put your foot down and tongue against the roof of your mouth and just say no, I'm not going to do that. We're going to do it God's way. As for me and my family, we're going to serve him. And you're 100% right, Jason. We need to be where God will have us to be every single moment of every day, doing his work.
Amen to that. Guys, let's try the phone lines again. Good morning, caller. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, brothers. It's Anders out in Nebraska.
Good morning, Anders.
So I thought I'd share a idea that had occurred to me a couple of days ago. So for those who don't know me, I'm in college and I live on campus in the dorms. And and as you might expect, they have a bunch of Halloween decorations in my dorm, on all the different floors and things like that. And the thought occurred to me, Reformation Day is also on October 31st. Why not do a little bit of decorating of my own to give them some competition? So I printed out Martin Luther's 95 Theses, and I taped it to the outside of my door of my dorm. And I've had a few comments of people asking what it was, because it's amazing. I'm surprised at how many people don't even know who Martin Luther is or what the 95 Theses are. Even Christians, I'm surprised how many Christians I've met that don't know what that is.
Yeah,
and yeah, so I thought I'd share that. Thought thought it might inspire the remnant, maybe give them some other ideas.
Absolutely. I think it ties in just with what Zach and Jason were saying. You know, do bloom where you're planted. Do what you can as you're led by the Holy Spirit. Make sure it's by the Holy Spirit. And plant those seeds. Plant those seeds.
Because you don't know when you're doing something like that, what kind of seeds that you're planting out there for the lost sheep.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's all I had for today, brothers. God bless.
God bless, Anders. Hang in there, brother. Great. Do what you can where you're at, that's for sure.
Well, you know what? What I said yesterday to those people, I was preaching myself when I got to thinking about it. We've got to quit talking about what Biden and all this crap is doing and start talking about what God's doing, you know? And I was actually preaching to myself when I thought about it. So, and I don't like talking much what they're doing anyway, because I don't really care. But, but it's getting so crazy, everybody can see it.
Amen to that.
If you can't, there's something matter with you.
You're right, Paul. They can't do anything that God don't allow them to do. And they're nothing but a tool. I mean, we are the ones that are putting ourselves and have been for a long time in the position that we're in through our sin and through our turning away and moving away from God. A while back, I was explaining the cycle to my son. We were discussing the fact that, you know, hard times make for strong men, and strong men make for good times, and good times make for weak men, and then weak men make for hard times, and then hard times make for strong men. And it is a cycle throughout the Bible. You can see where we, as a people, fall away from God, and every time we do, we end up reaping what we sow.
Amen. Amen. That's where this baby boom generation came from. That I, you know, I just missed it by a few years, that it came out of war. Because what do you think this, you know, back in the 30s and the 40s, it was much, this nation was much more agriculture and much more of a Christian nation. And when the men and many of the women were off at war, not getting into the validity of the war or any of that, but they were off fighting and being killed. What do you think a Christian people left at home would be doing with husbands and wives and spouses and children off to war? And I guarantee you, they were praying for one thing, and they were doing without, you know, the rationing. I remember the little ration cards. I've seen them. I've got one in there that's an old one that got left over. They were doing without. They were watching after their neighbor, and they were crying out to God. And that was those hard times you're talking about, Josh. And what did it produce? It produced some godliness, and then the people were blessed when they came back with the baby boom, right? More babies than they'd ever had. Now, you know, things certainly changed then, but that was a blessing that came from those hard times, because those hard times caused the people to look out for one another and trust in God and work hard, and they were in prayer. I guarantee you that. And I think those hard times are on the way back. I really do. We've become so soft as a nation. When you read Psalms 83, the rest of the nations are in an uproar, and they want what we have. And is there any you know, all throughout history, when that has come up, it hasn't been too long before things changed drastically. And I think things are going to be changing drastically here in this nation very soon.
When the Saxon begins to say, hey, crap, it's the fan.
It's getting ready for it.
Yeah.
Another form of birth control that people don't think much about, and it's called television, is a diversion. You know, they didn't have TV, they didn't have diversions back then, so they did other things, and then there was all kinds of children popping up, so. And not only that, the TV is an infiltrator of our house, you know, with, you know, the two children, you know, mindset and all the stuff like that, and God said children are a gift from God. Well, you know, people are so materialistic that they don't think they have time or money for children, you know, and what a sad situation, actually.
Well, the important thing to remember is the system that's going down is not God's system, it's their system. It's not good for us. It is a blessing for us for it to go down. So we should be praying and hastening the day that we get that reset, that we have that crying out of 2 Chronicles 7:14, our people repenting and humbling themselves and bowing their knees to God, not to Baal. And looking to him for a salvation and a deliverance, not to the government for their direct deposit check for the month.
Amen. Amen. And we have the, you know, the examples, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that were captives, but they weren't going to bow to the king and his image. And you know, thousands of years later, we have that story, that word, that encouragement for us today. You know, when they said, King, we really don't need to answer you on this, because our God will deliver us out of your hand. We're not going to serve you. We're not going to bow down to you. We bow down and serve our God. And he will deliver us out of your hand. Whether we live or die does not matter. He can. And he will deliver us out of your hand. And you know, what an attitude that was. We, for the most part, our people today, that is just as foreign to them as some foreign language they've never heard. It really is, unfortunately. Just like Anders said about, you know, so many just not knowing our history and the history of Christianity. It is a sad thing, but... Well, those hard times will produce godly men again. And, you know, if the salt, you mentioned it earlier, didn't you, Josh, about the salt losing its savor or flavor or whatever it is. And you know, what good is it at that time? And it's not any good. And that saltiness has to come back. It does. The people have to get it back.
You know, and it's so evident, that unseen party, this is their system. They're not producers. They're not laborers. They are parasites. And in just about every lane of every avenue of this economy, you have that tier of parasites that feeds off of everything coming and going. And that's where we're at. You know, back to your point, Richard, can you imagine? If everybody bought their beef locally, how much different that would look to folks and their checking accounts and the way that they did things, you know? It'd be way different if we had a bunch of small family farms. This area where I live in, there used to be small farms everywhere here. That was the lifestyle, you know, 40, 50 years ago. And, you know, it's just changed and changed, and they brought in the bulk packing plants for the milk and, you know, the big cattle yards and feedlots and what have you, and they have changed the way that we, in our hearts, know that we should live.
That's right.
I mean, Jason, I've talked plenty of times of just that feeling of when you're out there working the land, you know, you feel closer to God because you're doing what you are meant to do. And You know, there's just something about that feeling that is so rewarding. And when you come in at the end of the day and you're dog tired, but you can look back and see what you did and what you got done. That's who we are. That's who our people are. And that's how we, not necessarily through the work, but through that relationship with God is how we get back to where we need to be as a people and get back in order.
Return to me, God says, and I will return to you. Draw nearer to me, he says, and I will draw nearer to you. And, you know, the ball's in our court. Paul?
My daughter, I turned 70 in April, and my daughter got me a pocket watch, which, you know, the chain on it and stuff like that. And the reason being, my dad always wore a pocket watch, and then she had inscribed in it a verse that I taught her. And I think the verse I gave her, she said, well, Dad, you taught me this when I was little. God did not give us the spirit of fear. You know, and if we have fear in our life, it's not from God. And he puts stuff in our lives so we turn back to him and stuff like that. But we got to get that through our head, you know. And of all the people I've ever asked what sin was, and not only two that I can remember came close, and they were both Roman Catholics, and they said it's a violation of the Ten Commandments. Most people said, I don't know. So they don't even know they're sinning, but right. They know they're sinners.
Yep.
You know, but I mean, you talk about a state of confusion.
Amen. Well, guys, we are out of time. I do want to take a second. I want to thank you all for joining us, men here locally and all of you across the nation. Thanks for tuning in and joining us, and we hope it's been an encouragement to you. And we'll invite you to join us at church tomorrow. You can do that at scriptures4america.org. And we'll get things fired up at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. And join us. We'll have a little review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit message and a little bit of everything for you. And you can partake of communion with us as well. And so we encourage you to take just really a few minutes and join with like-minded Christians in worship and praise to the King of Kings. And we hope you'll join us there, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
stake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
Move it, move it, move it, though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting.